Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do go to the web and check out the resources available for those who support the ministry this month. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. A lot of you calling in. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Trevor first in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on the web. Hi, Trevor.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is, suicide. How can a person be sure that they won't automatically go to hell if they commit suicide?
Well, I think the thing you have to recognize, Trevor, is that if one is in their right mind, they would never consider suicide as a believer. Which is to say, if you are a friend of God, you are not going to willfully disobey God's commandments, including the commandment, thou shalt not murder, because suicide is the murder of oneself. So if you willfully take your own life, if you willfully disobey the commandments of God, you are saying, in essence, I know better than God knows. And that would not designate you as a friend of God, but someone who stands in opposition to God. Now, conversely, it is possible that you could be a Christian and you are in a despondent state of mind. In other words, you're in an altered state of consciousness, and while you're in that state of consciousness, you do something unthinkable. Well, that does not absolutely and irrevocably keep you out of the kingdom of God. So suicide is not the unforgivable sin, but those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips dare not contemplate it. Our lives belong to God. He alone has the prerogative to bring them to an end. And that's why God says that there is no God beside me. I put to death and bring to life. I have wounded. I heal. No one can deliver out of my hand. So again, suicide is the murder of oneself, and as such is a direct violation of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, and is a direct attack on the sovereignty of the very one who knit us together in our mother's womb. Therefore, a Christian in their right mind would never contemplate such a thing.
So what does it mean if someone does contemplate that? I mean, I noticed you said that a person wouldn't be a friend of God. But if a person just feel like they just can't go on anymore, I guess, as you say, contemplate it and actually consider committing.
Well, yeah, but again, if you're in your right mind, what do you do, Trevor? I mean, the Lord says, trust in me with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. I will make your paths straight. So a friend of God communes with God, and God gives them the ability to go on, no matter how desperate the circumstances. And I can tell you that I have faced some very, very difficult circumstances, particularly over the last couple of months. And continue to do so with an incurable disease. And sometimes even the treatment itself can be so difficult, it's hard to look past it. But in the difficult circumstances, you actually end up being able to forge that relationship, that friendship with God, and it becomes deeper and more precious to you, and that you then realize that there is no pit so deep, as Corrie ten Boom once said, that God is not deeper still. So in the midst of the darkest and most difficult circumstances, God is there to carry you as a lamb. And I have discovered that in my own life, in many difficult circumstances. And so I'm not simply chirping something, I'm telling you about something I've lived myself. And so as you deepen your relationship with God through prayer, that relationship becomes real and tangible. So every single day, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, for thou alone art worthy, now and forever, until the ages of ages. Amen. I pray the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I worship him. I thank him. Even in the difficult times, I thank him because he's bringing healing to the metaphysical aspect of my humanity during those difficult times. So God, in all circumstances, works for good. Those who love the Lord are being developed in the cauldron of adversity. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. And it is in the difficult circumstances of life that we get rid of the dross and we're poured out in better and newer fashion. So I don't think that we should ever say that the difficulties of life are such that we can no longer bear them, because if we have a relationship with God, he carries us during those very difficult times.
I understand, but I don't feel that caring. I'm civilian debt. My wife and I are on the verge of divorce, and I'm on the verge of losing my job. I don't have anything else. I want to go to sleep and not wake up. That's what I want right now.
Can I pray for you, Trevor?
You can, but I don't know if that would help right now.
Well, let's just join our hearts together in this moment. Lord, I thank you for this phone call. And Lord, I pray that you would be the balm of Gilead in Trevor's life, that you will give him the peace that passes all understanding. May he understand that you suffered every indignity that humanity has ever suffered. And therefore, you can carry us through the deepest circumstances of life. Lord, I pray that you would send people to encourage Trevor, that he might find his all in you, that whether in life or in death, he may know that you are his source. And Lord, most of all, that you have a purpose for him in life. Lord, may the friendship between Trevor and the precious Trinity become ever stronger in the moments and days ahead. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would cause your people to pray for Trevor during this difficult time. We pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Trevor,
thank you. I really appreciate that.
Trevor, in that prayer, I mean, I genuinely believe with all my heart, not only believe in the sense of what I think, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I was talking to the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows about your circumstances. And there is a way through those circumstances. There is a way to find peace. But that's not found in taking your life. Every moment you have is precious, no matter how difficult. don't contemplate suicide. I'm available to you. Our ministry is available to you. Don't do anything without talking to me.
Well, I don't know what else to do. I have 30 Percocets, and I have
don't take them. Don't do anything without talking to us. We're going to stay in touch with you. It's sort of an indignity that I'm coming up to a heartbreak, but there's nothing I can do about it. But don't go anywhere. We want to pick you up and continue our conversation with you. We are coming to a station break. Do remember Monday through Friday at this time. Your questions are answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, or contact information on the web, equip.org. We will be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, don't touch that dial, and pray for Trevor.
The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard is a guidebook on how to live as Christ lived, directed to those who hope to be His disciples. The Spirit of the Disciplines details why disciplines are essential to our deliverance from the concrete power of sin and outlines the ways they can help each of us glorify God in our bodies. To receive your copy of The Spirit of the Disciplines, Understanding How God Changes Lives, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. www.bibleanswerman.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. The quote of the day from Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, nor resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son, in whom he delights. That's from Proverbs 3. Verses 11 and 12. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Dwayne in Midland, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate the work you do.
Thank you.
My question is, in John chapter 8, in verses 24 and 58, Jesus refers to himself as I am, which it to me means that he's saying, I am God. In verse 24, he says that if you do not believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. And I've got many friends in denominations within the Christian faith that they do not believe that Jesus is God. And my question is Jesus really saying there that if you do not believe that I am God, you'll really not go to heaven? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, absolutely. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the one who condescended to cloak himself in human flesh, to take on our humanity so that we could take on his divinity, so that we could become partakers in the divine nature. If we do not believe that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, then we do not have a God that can save us. It is through the cross that we are saved, not saved only by his death, but saved into his life, so that we might experience life that is life to the full, but that can only be experienced through Jesus Christ. And certainly he is making that claim explicit. He's saying, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And then they respond, well, you're not yet 50 years old. This is the Jews speaking to him, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. And what Jesus is doing here in using the Greek ego, eimi, is he using the divine name of God in the Old Testament, which was, of course, first revealed to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Now, to the Jews, this was a direct, unmistakable claim to perfect equality with God. And that's why you see the reaction that they have. John here is placing special emphasis on the use of this name to clearly reveal Christ as God. And that divine claim illumines Christ's authority even over death, a power belonging only to God the Father. And therefore, he can not only heal, but he can forgive sins. Not only that, because he is God, he has the power to lay down his life and take it up again. And his own resurrection is the surety of our resurrection. So yes, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is God. If he were merely another man, he could not save you.
Okay, thank you. And one other question in that regard. Some translations on verse 24, they have that Jesus says, I am, and then in parentheses, he, and the I am is lowercase. And then in one translation I read, they don't put in the he, and they actually have I am in caps.
Yeah, I think that's a misunderstanding because, you know, words and phrases are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. So when Jesus says that I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world, I am not of this world is not using the ego in the same sense that it is used later on in the verse that I think you alluded to. I think it was verse 58.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Tamara in Austin, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
Tamara, sorry.
That's okay. I appreciate your ministry, and I appreciate you taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, yesterday, you said... You were talking to somebody and you said something about burial versus cremation.
Yes.
And that just rocked my world. And so I need to find out a little bit more on that. And I think I do understand because, you know, the dead in Christ shall rise and be joined with their bodies. But what happens when a believer is cremated?
Yeah, so I'm not suggesting that God cannot resurrect the cremated. He most certainly can. He can resurrect the cremated just as he resurrects those who are buried. But what I was suggesting in yesterday's conversation is that cremation does not point to resurrection in the same way that burial does. Burial highlights the resurrection of the body, that we will be bodily resurrected. Just as Christ was bodily resurrected, we too will be bodily resurrected. So the body that we have will be reconstituted, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And even in saying that, it begs some qualification. It doesn't mean that every atom of your body is going to be resuscitated. It simply means that there's continuity between the body that is and the body that will be, and that the body that is mortal, but the body that will be immortal, but there's continuity between the two. And I oftentimes use the illustration of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. The caterpillar and the butterfly are the same physically, but they're different organizationally. And that's a way of looking at what will happen with our resurrected bodies, where we die mortal because we're mortal, we rise immortal. We die perishable because we're perishable, but we will rise imperishable, incorruptible. So the body that rises is, again, it's physical, but it's very, very different from the bodies we now possess in that it's no longer mortal, it's immortal, it's no longer perishable, it's imperishable, it's no longer corruptible, it's incorruptible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So because, I mean, with the, and I know that we're probably looking at it, and well, I know we are looking at it in the human aspect of it all, but, you know, the body burial is so outrageously expensive that people are, you know, taking that cremation route, you know? And and I know several of my family members, and I've even talked about it with myself, about doing cremation instead of, you know, allowing all that money to go to...
Sure. So here's what I would do. If someone is contemplating cremation, I would make sure that that person, if a believer, is certain that at the funeral service, the highlight becomes the resurrection of the body. Because God can resurrect, as I said earlier, the cremated just as he can the buried. But one points to escape from the body, at least in its Eastern permutations, the other points to the resurrection of the body. So I think that has to be made explicit in a message at the funeral service, which becomes a very, very wonderful time for people to consider their own mortality and what will happen when they die. Are they going to just be dead and that's the end of it? Or... is there going to be a resurrection? Is that body going to be resurrected? That message of the bodily resurrection should be communicated with power and passion.
Okay, got you. That makes perfect sense. I also want to just tell you that I will be praying for Trevor. My heart goes out to him, and I know that it's difficult, but with Christ, he can get through this. So my prayers go out to him.
And thank you so much. I know that there will be a lot of people praying for Trevor. We're going to stay in touch with him as well. There's no accounting for the human will, but anything that we can do to help or, this is the problem when people try to go it alone. You need to have a body of believers around you, because that is when you are supplied with what you need in the deepest, darkest moments of your life. I can tell you, going through my own disease, having the body of Christ to surround me is one of the greatest joys and privileges one could possibly imagine. Thank you for your prayers. I know a lot of people will be praying for Trevor, and we will continue to pray that God will give him peace in the midst of life's storms and find a way out, not suicide, a way out. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Men broadcast. Do thank everyone for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. My apologies to all those I didn't get to today.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.